Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, and to give us, Father, a greater understanding of this your word, so that we can know the truth, Father, and be not deceived. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning, and I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. All right. Now, you know, we're finishing up here this morning with Matthew, Book of Matthew. We're in the last chapter. There's several things in here that we need to really settling in our hearts. Now, here in chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. In other words, they were out. Now, 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. When we look at those verses, all four Gospels essentially agree in reporting the facts of the resurrection. With the variety of details in each account, supplement rather than contradict one another. The empty tomb was discovered in the end, used as improper proposition for after the Sabbath, agreeing with the other evangelists. By Jewish reckoning, the day ended at sunset, and the new day began at the same time. Thus, Saturday night, by our reckoning, was actually Sunday by their calendar. Now, accordingly, the resurrection actually occurred sometime during the night, for by the time the women arrived, as it began to draw into dawn, he had already risen from the dead. The earthquake and the angel who rolled the stone away did not come to let Jesus out of the tomb, but to reveal that it was empty and that he was already gone. All right, now, as we go on here, with 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see. 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Well, now, they must have paid them awful well. Just said they gave them large money. They must have been awful well, because for a soldier back then to admit he had fell asleep while on watch meant his life. But now, they're hard them to tell this. 14. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, and is still being spoken about in a lot of lot of places there, and proclaiming that those that are still believing in the Lord. Now, as we take a look now at those, says running ahead with fear and great joy, they actually met Jesus and worshiped him. And we cannot imagine their emotions at this moment when fear and joy gripped them simultaneously. And again, they were instructed to go before him into Galilee. Here, Matthew's account is considerably briefer and less detailed than other gospels, where we have specific accounts of Peter and John running to the tomb, Mary meeting Jesus, the walk to Emmaus, the appearance in the upper room, the appearance to more than 500 believers at once, and the incident on the seashore. Pilate had put the soldiers at the disposal of the Jewish Sanhedrin, so the soldiers reported first to that body. The assemblage gave large money, which was a large bribe, really, to the soldiers to hide the truth of the resurrection with the lie saying, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. A ridiculous statement in view of the disciples' earlier defection in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, the soldiers would have been unable to testify about what happened while they slept. And then, too, if it had not been for wanting them to tell this lie, they would ordinarily have been killed. But now, Matthew 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, you know, several things, but there is something that has gotten into our church today, has caused, and still today, is causing controversy between churches and actually between believers too. And really should not be. But this is what happens when you don't really study God's Word. Now, one is on baptizing to share with you what I'm talking about. Because they converted disciples in the first step of outward obedience to the Lord, baptized, is an English translation and means to dip or emerge, thus indicating its proper mood. Nowhere does this term ever indicate sprinkling or pouring. These converts are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is singular, followed by an ectological clause indicating that one name is the name of each person of the Trinity. Well, we know that. And we know that, yes, during that time, that's the way they were to baptize, because, you see, they were still baptizing for repentance. And that is John's baptism, and that's the way it was to be done. But we go on here now. While baptism reference in Acts refers to being baptized in Jesus' name, emphasizing his deity as Savior, there in no way eliminate or contradict the significance of this formula given by Christ himself. But you see, it does, because the thing was, Jesus was still here on this earth at this time. And the church age had not started. So they were still having to do things as the law. But you see, there was a change coming, which happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, as we go on here, it says the closing promise, though given to the apostles, is transmitted by every generation of believers. Christ's promise of his presence, I am with you always, guarantees the success of the church's mission, because it is really his mission carried out by his called out disciples. And the phrase "until the end of the world" means until the end of the age. Therefore, Christ's empowerment of the church to evangelize the world is available in every age, even unto the end of the church age. In comparing the Great Commission with Jesus' promise to continually build his church, we must conclude that he intended his church always to be spiritually militant and evangelistically aggressive, as we take his claims of lordship to the entire world of our generation. Now you see, this about this baptism is written by those that are interpreting the word to put in and make a study Bible. So they're adding a lot of things, and you'll find this in a lot of your footnotes. You see, they wasn't taken into account here about the end of the age of the law was about to come to an end, which it did on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to man, Well, that was the beginning of the church age, and the law had been fulfilled, and everything changed, because now we are not under law, we are under grace. We don't repent and receive forgiveness by baptism anymore. We get that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we are to be baptized, but we are to be baptized in His name. Now, why? Because we are putting Him on, and we are taking on His burial, His death, and His resurrection. And our life is then to change, because it all comes through Him. And everything you and I will receive will come through the Lord Jesus Christ. No. So you see, you have to be very vigilant in your study of the scripture, and you need the Holy Spirit there to guide you. You see, after the Lord's resurrection, He stayed on this earth 40 days more before He went back to heaven and the day of Pentecost. And that's when everything changed and the New Testament and the church age began. It was on the day of Pentecost. The same man that He told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was for this 40 days. Because you see, they knew when the change happened, because Peter come out and he's the one that was preaching when everything changed there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter preached one of the greatest sermons ever recorded. And he done it without any fear of those that were standing around. And when he finished with them, those that were listening, they said, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, there is a whole lot that has to be taken into consideration and looked at until you are not deceived. Because when things are done the wrong way, you would have been as well off, or maybe even better off, if it had never been done at all. Because when we believe something and we accept something like that that is wrong, then we are actually living believing that everything with us is all right when it's not. You see, that is the deception that Satan uses. Now, we have come to the end of the book of Matthew. We're going to stop here for this morning, and we're going to be praying today to see where God wants to take me next for this evening. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in the truth of this your word, Father, and to keep us from being deceived. Help us now to always hunger and thirst for you, for your word, for your kingdom, and for the right way of life, and for knowledge, so that we can grow thereby one day, make heaven our home. We pray for Israel. We pray, Father, that land have peace. And that, Father, they all will accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, filled with evil. Father, help us now, Father, to remove from office those that are evil, that has brought this evil and the evil ways upon our land and our people, Father, and to replace them with those that are walking in righteousness, that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, your people, and loves this land. And that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that are on my prayer list, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Millie and Bobby Johnson, for Sue and Daryl, Sue Granson, for Debbie and Daryl, Father, for Courtney and Shane, for Terry and his family, Father, may they all know that they need to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Now, Father, my wife and myself, you know our needs, Father, and I'm putting our needs in your hands. Now, Father, you know the needs of this ministry. This ministry is yours, Father, it's not mine. You sent me here as overseer. Now, Father, use me and use me in great and mighty ways. And Father, as we separate for this day, be with us through the day, Father. keep us safe, keep us in health, and bring us together this evening at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you.